For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
And now, live on 670 The Score and the Odyssey app, it's Gabe Ramirez.
Is there really an issue with the Chicago Bears running back room? Heard a lot of people say that today, or read it over the last couple of days. We will discuss in just a second what is going on, everybody. It is Gabe Ramirez here on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Going to be hanging out with you guys until Cubs play this evening. Cubs taking on the Los Angeles Dodgers. First pitch is going to be at 9:10 p.m. Pregame will begin at 8:35, so we'll get you guys there on time. Cubs looked good yesterday. You know, you didn't know how it was going to go at the very beginning. You know, you had Hendricks out there. Said to yourself, okay, you know, you're not feeling too great. But Cubs jumped out early for that 3-0 lead. Made it exciting. And you know what? I know that I have several friends that are diehard Cubs fans in my group chats. And one of them was complaining that he really wanted to go to bed early last night. And with the 3-0 lead, he found himself glued to the TV, as most Cubs fans were. Of course, Cubs getting a victory yesterday. It was a Walker Buehler. I mean, of course, you know, dealing with some injuries as of late. But nonetheless, you got to come out. You got to handle business. And today, Cubs looking to do just that, trying to make it 2 straight against the Dodgers. Out on the West Coast, again, game starts at 9:10. On the bump, Cubs are sending out Shota Imanaga. So, I mean, last time out, the over-under is at 8 right now. Excuse me. The over-under is at 8 right now. And I was just thinking to myself, I don't know. Last time Shota pitched, and then, of course, you got Yamamoto out there as well. So, it might be something you need to look at. All right, but let's talk about this Bears. I've been trying to talk about this Bears. You know, I did the – if you're not following the podcast, Believe in Bears, myself, Marshall Harris, Clay Harbor, the three of us have combined forces – and we have this thing called the Believe in Bears, the podcast that we put out 2 times a week talking about our Bears. So got an opportunity to talk about the game yesterday. And I predicted 27-17 Bears. Now, when we were discussing this on the pod, I said, the issue with the score is how you get there. And as we saw on Sunday, getting to 24, no, it was not, for those of you that didn't watch the game, 3 touchdowns and a field goal. Not quite. 2-point conversion, 3 field goals, and a defensive touchdown and a block punt for a touchdown. So, I mean, overall, obviously people can complain about what was going on there. But for me, I want to start with the running back room. I got DeAndre Swift in multiple leagues. I hope you do too. If you're a homer and you were going to take somebody, hopefully you didn't take Caleb Williams and play him like my dad did. Silly. But, if you know, DeAndre Swift to me is a guy that can't be there. The issue that I thought was there was no change of pace back. Right. First play of the game, you get 6 yards on a run up the middle between the tackles, I should say. And the next 2 plays are passes. Right. And for me, I kind of shrugged my shoulders and was just like, why? You got 6 on the first play. And I understand you pre-script your plays. But as a Bears fan, knowing what you've gone through in the last 2 or 3 quarterbacks and what you want to fix with Caleb Williams, you just say to yourself, I wish we would have just leaned on the run, allowed. And then the argument that people were making back to me, because then I was like, then you'd be in 3rd and short in situations and allow Caleb to be comfortable in those moments. But Caleb had several 3rd and shorts that the Bears couldn't capitalize or convert on. But you got to go back to the attempts. Week 1, only 16 rushing attempts by the running backs. 16. If you go back to last season, and of course, obviously, you know, different offensive coordinator, different running backs. The Bears ran for 16 attempts only once last season, and that was week 2 against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I mean, every other game outside of that, the lowest number of rushing attempts for the Bears last season was 25. And that was against Green Bay in the last game of the season. They really wanted to win that one, so they were leaning on that pass. So again, when you're looking at this Bears team and you're telling me, okay, so is the new iteration of the Bears with Caleb Williams and Shane Waldron, is it a team that accomplishes that feat in week one? Where you match the lowest total of rushing attempts from last season in week one? And then is that who the Bears are going to be? I hope not. But again, when you're just pitting it up against last season. So I think the issue for me was no change of pace back, right? Khalil Herbert, when he was successful as a member of the Chicago Bears, is when he was spelling David Montgomery. Now, David Montgomery and DeAndre Swift are two different running backs. I don't want to say totally different, but two different running backs. David Montgomery certainly can run in between the tackles. DeAndre Swift, a little more frail. You can see his body type. So, again, when Khalil Herbert was spelling David Montgomery, it worked. Khalil was the change of pace back. He was the speedy scat back that could put the foot on the gas and give you 5 yards of carry. And then, of course, when given lead duties, struggled a bit last year, especially with the running back by committee that was in place last season with Deontay Foreman and Roschon Johnson. So then this season, when Khalil Herbert is, which didn't even get in the game till late, but is meant to spell DeAndre Swift, there's no bruising running back there. Somebody that can actually be, you know, when you bring in your reliever, if a guy's, you know, been throwing, if it's Kyle Hendricks, then you want to bring in your fastball, you know, two-seamer reliever to come in and shake things up, right? You're not going to bring in the reliever that has slow stuff and a good curve. No. I think the same thing applies to your running back room. So, again, then there was a moment where they ran DeAndre Swift to the outside. He ended up picking up like six, and then they ran the exact same play. And I was like, what am I watching? Am I watching my little nephew play Madden? What is going on? He's throwing the ball too much. You know, you're putting your rookie quarterback in a poor situation. At least that's what I felt as a fan. And I'm sure a lot of people felt that way as well.
Were you as confused as I was to see them not be able to get DeAndre Swift like a touch in the passing game coming out of the backfield or get outside in space until like the fourth quarter?
No, you know, I called for it. In the fourth quarter, I was watching the game with my pops and I'm like, there's no, you know, where you do the fake handoff and then he goes right there by the middle linebacker, turns around and just a little dunk, or he's one-on-one with that linebacker because everyone else is, you know, so I don't know if that was a product of Tennessee playing more zone coverage than the Bears were anticipating and then therefore not allowing for that space for DeAndre Swift to be able to create in those moments. But, I mean, if you were looking even at the gambling props, the over-under for Khalil Herbert, his receiving yards were 3.5. DeAndre Swift, receiving yards, 14.5. Did I put them together and parlay them? Maybe. Because I thought that was too low. And then I couldn't believe it when you see the stats at the very end. But, again, I think one thing we can't discredit is that the Bears were going up against a true top 10 defense. Right? Not one that you're hoping becomes a top 10 or a top 5 defense. One that actually is. And people were like, oh, what are you talking about? They didn't really do anything. I'm sorry, did you check the box score? Did you see how many yards the Bears were able to muster up? And granted, you could say it was because first week, you could say, but a larger slice of that pie has to be because the Tennessee Titans have a good defense.
Yeah, Devondre Sweat and Jeffrey Simmons dominated that game.
It was absolutely. I mean, you know, you saw some stats that came through PFF that were given out, and there were some crazy grades that were given not only to the defense of the Tennessee Titans, but also some of the Bears players. You mentioned Alex Kuhn producing today. You mentioned that Tavondre Sweat had himself a game. Well, he had the best passing rush grade, according to PFF, at 81.8. He was dominating. Coleman Shelton had a bad game. Yes. You want to know why? Because you went up against two of the best interior linemen in the NFL. I don't expect you to have an A-plus game against them.
Right, and Tevin Jenkins also had a really, really bad game
him
against
I expect more from.
Those two guys.
Yeah.
So if you put all those things together, I think Shane Waldron, wasn't he in a weird situation where he couldn't run the ball up the middle because he was scared of those guys?
Not. Absolutely not. That's
he got in his head is what I'm saying.
Yeah, because more often than not, I see in the NFL where they see a guy, if it's TJ Watt on the end, and they say, hey, we're going to run the ball at him. We're not going to allow him to chase us down or clog up the middle. We're going to run the ball at him, chip him, double team him, make sure we get an opportunity to move him out the way and then allow the rest of the line to do what they're supposed to do, or bootleg that, whatever the case might be. Again, I just think it wasn't enough. This is just not enough, right? I was hoping going into this that it wasn't going to be air raid football for Caleb Williams, and throwing the ball 29 times immediately. But, you know, here we are. It's Gabe Ramirez, 670 to score, hanging out with you. Again, leading you into Cubs baseball. First pitch, 9:10 p.m. right here on 670 the score. I want to play some audio for you as well. Speaking of, you know, the offensive line and the running back room, you know, coach wants that, Amble, Mullienhall. He talked about his own concerns and talked about how he mentioned them before the season began.
You can have the greatest – I've had really good defensive schemes, and if our guys aren't emotionally all in, it made no difference. No difference, you know, because that's what defense is. We're on offense, and we sat here a week ago, and we talked about concerns going into the opening week, and I said, guys, let me tell you something. Doing this for 40 years almost – stuff that happens in the preseason comes back to haunt you in the regular season. You cannot stick your head in the sand. And the running game was Swift. I didn't feel it coming out of the preseason. I did not feel it. And the offensive line, what position, and Olin Kreutzer, Pat Manley would tell you this, the one position on the football team that needs to work together as a unit and communicate and figure it out more than any other unit is the offensive line.
Yes.
When you think back to training camp, Nate Davis out a week or two, Jenkins is missing some time, Jones misses some time, we got Bates at center, now he's at guard, we got Shelton at center. There was more position changes, injuries in and out with our offensive line than any position on our team. As a result, that's what we got. You know the old expression, it you know, what we did in training camp is what showed up there. I'm fine with Caleb Williams.
Coach wants that right there with Mullienhall. Of course, you can catch him weekly. Talking about his concerns heading into the season, I think most people had a concern, except for Ryan Poles. And again, I want to make it very clear, put an asterisk quickly. I have no problems with Ryan Poles nor his decision-making. But I get it. You have to be optimistic when going into a season, and when people are questioning what your offensive line looks like, you want to sort of put them at ease in telling them that you feel confident about it. But what I said was, you know, you are an injury away. You're an injury away. You brought in bodies, then you brought in talent, and of course you're working on the depth right now. And the Bears aren't there yet. And with the offensive line playing the way that it is, I mean, you know, you need more bodies. And of course, he's going to continue to build on that. That's why this team's going to continue to get better year after year. But how the Bears won, right? It was one of those things. I pulled up to Hoops yesterday, and my guy was like, "So how we feeling, Gabe? It's a victory Monday. How we feeling?" I said, "Great." I said, "Victories are hard to come by. Happy Mondays in Chicago are few and far between." So I'm not gonna try to bring in a bunch of negativity into why the Bears lost or what's going on or my work. No, absolutely not. Especially when I hear Coach Flus describe the NFL in the way that he did and how each week is unpredictable.
Well, I know in the NFL that every week's different. You know, there'll be times where, you know, in it, the games ebb and flow. They really do. And you just got to be good as a team. You know, it's never about just one side or one person. It's about us being able to figure it out during the game and figure out our winning formula for that particular day. And that could change, you know, but then once you get a solidified, you know, quarterback that's a seasoned veteran, I think it becomes pretty clear how you operate and how you do things. We've seen all those guys in the past. Our guy's very talented. Again, this is his first game, and he's going to continue to get better.
That was Coach Flus. And his post-game interview or conference right there talking, and I appreciated it, right? He's saying every week in the NFL is different, and we know that. How you win each week is going to be more than likely different unless you're Patrick Mahomes. Even they got struggles over there. But again, it's hard. And at that same podium, it was interesting because someone asked him and said, it was like, hey, so, you know, just basically the Bayless question. And it was my guy, Omar Ramos, actually. And he said, so, you know, basically the Bayless question, like, what are we going to do with him? And he said he was proud of him. And I understood. I had an issue with, you know, trying to, I don't know, find the lesson for Bayless, a lesson for Bayless in the middle of a game. I had an issue with that. It's like, I get it, bro. Listen, you want your guy to be cool. You want him to have confidence. But in the middle of this game, put him to the side, have a conversation with him. Don't throw him a screen pass after what he just did. I mean, I get it. I get why you did it. Doesn't mean that it didn't make me cringe when I was watching it in real time. But Coach wants that. And I want to pull a clip from him again. He was talking with Mullion Hall, and he talked about what to do with a guy like Velus Jones Jr.
You know what? I remember when I had a running back that was having some issues, and I called up Bill Parcells. He was still coaching then. And I said, Coach, you know, you got 25 more years experience than me. Tell me. He says, Dave, it's real simple. A guy that's a repeated fumbler or repeated penalty guy, get rid of him. He's going to cost you games. You cannot play guys like that. You cannot. And that's the end of it. You got to have the guts to do it, is what he told me. So that's my opinion, not just because of this game. But I thought last year, Flus made some comments last year when Velus fumbled a couple of times. I thought they were going to cut him before the season was over last year. And he's a great kid. I got nothing against him, but I'm not putting my job on his line. And he may come up and have a 20-yard run and excite everybody, but I wouldn't trust him. That's just my opinion. And I love the kid. Nothing personal on this guys. I don't know him. I'm just saying football. I'm a head coach. Dave, I'm responsible for this team.
Coach wants that. Saying it like it is with Mullion Hall. That was great. And the part that I love the most, right, it's not the repeated fumbling. It's not can't let that guy be responsible for affecting the game negatively. It's he's going to wow you with a 20-yard run. And you cannot let that affect you. And there are moments where you see Velus, you saw it in the preseason against Kansas City. There are moments where he gives Cordero Patterson, right? Where he's not Deebo Samuel, but like a little Cordero Patterson, where he might run over somebody and have that twitch speed. But
like that screen pass. And then you realize, oh, they have DeAndre Swift too, who can do that. So what purpose?
And that's what it is. And I understand the loyalty, and these guys have been just that. They've been loyal. And I'm sure they look at him like as their son, their oldest son. Unnecessary. That was unnecessary. But again, you cannot treat Velus Jones Jr. like a fan would, right? A fan says things like that. Give him another chance. Not fans now, but I'm saying at certain points, fans want to give their players the benefit of the doubt. And I think that's what fans do. Don't worry, he's a weapon. And I think you have to separate yourself. And I think Coach Wannstedt talked about how to do that. And far more often we talk about what to do, and we rarely talk about how to. And Coach Wannstedt did just that. I wonder if Hubarkish feels the same way. That Velus Jones Jr. Does Hub feel like Velus is a weapon, right, or a hindrance? We're going to talk to him next. Hub Arkish is going to join the show. We'll also talk about next Sunday's game against the Houston Texans. How does he think the Bears will fare there? Hub Arkish hangs out with us next. It's Gabe Ramirez right here on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one. Portrait. Number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
This was the biggest thing we learned from this experience, right? In my opinion, okay? Instead of in the halftime, what was different about this team, okay, compared to other teams I've been around, all right, was there was a lot of complaining and stuff like that. In those old locker rooms, it wasn't like that. It was, we got this. Yeah. We got this.
Yeah, we know who we are, fellas.
They're looking each other in the eye and saying that. We got this.
Yes, sir.
Gabe Ramirez here on 670 The Score. That was Coach Flus after the game. And I wonder if our next guest thinks Flus performed more like the defense or the offense. We will ask that question certainly to him as we bring him in on the Score Hotline presented by Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas, home of the world's largest sports book. He is the Scores senior NFL analyst and a good friend. What's up, Hub? Hub Arcus joins the show. What's up, Hub?
I'm good, Dave. How are you doing?
So I'll ask you that question. And when you look at Flus's performance via week one, did you feel like it was, you know, a dominant performance like the defense, or do you feel like it was left you wanting more like the offense?
Well, it was obviously both, but I wouldn't say dominant by the defense, but it was a very good performance by the defense. But I think hanging the whole thing on Flus is pushing it a bit much. I mean, you know, it's more about the players than him. I thought he had a better training camp this year than he did last year, but I still just didn't feel like they worked quite hard enough, even with an extra game. And again, you know, on opening day, they weren't 100%. They have more talent than to play the way they played, especially on offense. But the flip side is that it's going to take a few weeks. You know, everybody is expecting too much too soon. I'm not worried about Caleb Williams. I'm not worried about anything I saw other than the injuries. I hope Keenan Allen's foot is okay. I hope Roman Dunze's leg is okay. You know, but bottom line, they got the win, and that's what matters, because a year ago they would have lost that game. And that's, to me, what was the most important thing, because that showed significant improvement. They're down 17-0. Yeah. You know, it looks like the game is over, and they come all the way back, and they're ahead and in control at the end. So, you know, overall, it was not what we had hoped for, but I don't think it was quite as negative as a lot of people have made it either.
Yeah, I think when you're looking at a game like that in the very first situation, you just try to, you know, walk out with a victory. You know, even last year, right, Hub? How many times did you have conversations with people that were saying, if the Bears would have just won this game, or if the Bears would have just won this game last year, then they wouldn't be in X predicament that they're in. But that's what happens to good teams, and that's what happens to bad teams, right? Good teams find a way, bad teams find a way as well. You mentioned Caleb Williams, and you and I have had countless conversations about him and other quarterbacks, you know, heading into the season. But you've had a whole training camp, you know, to see him. Obviously, I know you're not worried about him, but I'm curious, what is different about your opinion on Caleb Williams in the present than from what it was before you began watching tape, you know, prior to the draft?
What is different is that I'm far more impressed by him now. You know, and I wasn't unimpressed. I wasn't negative prior to the draft, but, I had concerns, as you do with every player that you're drafting. They haven't played an NFL game yet. And everything I've seen from him throughout training camp and into the preseason has, to me, answered the concerns that were arising from questions people were asking about him because of the way we thought he had acted. All we knew is what we were hearing from other people. But at the end of the day, I think that he is definitely more prepared to be a franchise quarterback with the Bears today than he was when they drafted him. And that's what you're trying to accomplish. It wasn't all going to happen in one offseason. It isn't going to happen in his rookie year. You know, I know CJ Stroud won rookie of the year last year, and he'd like to win it this year. But Caleb, you know, that would be a long shot. Bottom line is that from that first game, I came away a little concerned about some of the lack of accuracy I saw on three or four, you know, throws that should have been big plays that in fact turned out to be, you know, incompletions. But again, you know, first game, first NFL start, first time playing against an NFL starting defense. You know, that's the thing that nobody talks about, is that until he went out on that field and they kicked the game off, he had not played a first-team NFL defense, you know, and so week one was likely to not go as well as we had hoped it might. You know, what other rookie quarterbacks did better? You know, C.J. Stroud didn't play quite like he was playing, you know, second half of last season and the first game this year. He wasn't terrible, but, you know, that's all unexpected and fairly natural, so I just would not make too much of it. The most important thing now is how much improvement do you see from 2 days ago till next Sunday night?
Yeah, and it'll be interesting to see that next week, and I look forward to hearing what you think about that game. But what do you think the team needs to focus on with the development of Caleb Williams, right? I mean, when you see a performance like that in week one, you know what's going to happen, and what do you think they need to focus on, Hub?
Well, they've clearly got to find a way to get this offensive line to play better. And again, that's not totally on the linemen or the coaches either, because remember, they weren't 100% healthy at any point during training camp. They didn't have all five starters on the field together. You know, I can't even remember if they did at all, but they certainly didn't much. And so that, you know, I wouldn't make too much of it yet, but I am concerned because I expected them to be better than they were Sunday. And, you know, that's got to take a big step forward this week. Not everything has to get fixed in week two, but there has to be a massive improvement on the offensive line against the Texans, you know, not the Texans, but against Houston next week. For this week.
You're talking to Hub Arcus here on 670 The Score. Gabe Ramirez hanging out with you. Hub, obviously a big comeback by the Chicago Bears on that defense. I mean, to give up the 17 in the way they did and to flip the switch, it seemed that way when I was watching the game. You saw the intensity of the defensive line. You know, the secondary just looked like they were continuing to get after it. I mean, what adjustments did you notice from that defense? Or what, not even adjustments, but what did you notice that was different from the first half to the second half?
Well, I'm not sure they made significant adjustments so much as they settled down. We've heard Flus now talk about what went on in the locker room at halftime, and he said there was no concern that they were ready, that they knew they could come back, that they planned on coming back. That was different from the team from a year ago, and that was good to hear. You know, but as far as how the defense played, the defensive line was definitely, I thought, better than it was at any point last year. It still has to get better. But they played pretty well. They're obviously good at linebacker. They don't have to worry about that. But they really, you know, they're not really playing a 4-3 or a 3-2. They're playing two linebackers and four or five people in the secondary and four or five offensive linemen. And it's their own system that they're making work. It's the system that Flus brought here. It's why he was hired. You know, I thought that they really, for the most part, just settled down. And then, you know, the other part about it is that your special people have to do special things. And T.J. Edwards just had a sensational game. And in the second half, he was controlling the football field. You know, he wasn't the only one, but he was the guy who stuck out the most. And he's one of the guys that you expect that from. And when your top guys start playing like that, that's when you've taken the next step, you know. And I think, you know, people were hoping for three sacks from Montez Sweat. You know, it wasn't going to happen. He didn't play badly. He just didn't get to the quarterback on day one. But, you know, the other thing that is so unusual and so exciting is those two trades that they made, you know, what, 3-4 days before that first game.
Yeah.
You know, and now all of a sudden, you know, it looks like you've got another special player on the defensive line or at linebacker. You know, now whether he can continue that for the season, we'll have to wait and see. I was surprised that they got him when they did and as inexpensively as they did based on his performance. You know, the first 2 years, but so far it looks like another, you know, good move, by Ryan Poles you know, it certainly made a difference, especially in the second half.
Yeah. You got to have a guy with a high motor on the other side. If Montez Sweat is going to be double teamed on one end, then of course the other side has to compensate for that. And Daryl Taylor did a great job of that. You saw Chris Williams obviously get into the rotation. Andrew Billings did a great job of just clogging the hole, you know, throughout the day. But, how, you know, defensive line is an area of concern of the Chicago Bears, right? That's why they addressed it at the tail end, like you mentioned, with a couple of the trades. But how do you think it's shaped up? I mean, obviously, you know, you're happy with the trades themselves, but when you're looking at the unit as a whole, the defensive line of the Chicago Bears, how do you think it is now stacked up in the present?
Well, after that first possession Sunday, I was pleased with the way they played. They definitely were improved. Again, I don't want to keep saying the same thing. They still have to get better, and they still have to add some more talent there, to be honest. But adding Austin Booker in the fifth round, adding Daryl Taylor with a late trade, you know, Jerron Dexter is definitely a much improved player. I think he's probably the most improved player on that defense right now. So they're already better than that, you know, better than, and I just talked about, you know, two pass rushers more than defensive linemen. But at the end of the day, that was the biggest thing that they had to improve. They were number one against the run last year on defense, you know, so that they just have to do the same thing. It's that pass rush that they have to get set and get fit. And it was better on day one than it was, you know, towards the end of the season last year.
We're talking to Hub Arcus here on 670 The Score. Gabe Ramirez hanging out with you, Hub. What you didn't see much of outside of some offensive explosion was a lot of Cole Kmet. We saw a time split between him and Gerald Everett on the field. I was under the impression when Gerald Everett was brought into the scheme of things that the Bears were going to do a lot of two tight end sets and you know really get them the ball. What do you think happened there?
Well, again, game one, you got to remember, it's also the first game for Shane Waldron, you know, and he hasn't gotten to run his starting offense. You know, that was the first time he did, and I'm not making excuses for him. It wasn't a good performance, but it's explainable, you know, and I think that you have to understand that. And so, again, you hope, you know, big steps forward going in on to week two. You know, and how good can this be with the existing talent that they have? We got to remember that, you know, Booker's only been here for a couple months. Taylor's only been here for a couple days. And these are key performers early on it looks like you're going to be counting on. So I know it's hard for fans, especially after last year. And I was so frustrated last year because everybody was so impatient and overreacting so quickly. And immediately Sunday night and Monday, it happened again. Everybody overreacting. Ah, they stink. They're not good enough. The offense isn't improved. It's too soon, guys. You know, the talent is there. They definitely upgraded the talent significantly. Now, again, I'm not worried about Allen. I think that that's just an ongoing foot injury that's slow in healing. But I want to know more, about the kid, about Roma Dunze, because they're saying week to week. And if it is week to week, okay. If he misses a game, okay. But I'd hate to see him miss significant time early on his rookie year, because I think having all three of those wide receivers is critical. And, you know, I didn't totally answer your question as far as how they ran that offense, on Sunday. But I think one thing that people have to consider, I got a hunch that Shane Waldron kept a lot in the bank for next week. Mm. They knew that they were supposed to win that game. They are the better team than the Titans. They had to be able to beat them without playing their best game ever. But now next week they get, you know, one of the most improved teams in the league last year. They get a playoff team that won a playoff game. They have to go on the road. And so I think part of that lack of production last Sunday was because Shane Waldron was holding on to a few things that he didn't want to show anybody, at least until next week.
I would love if that were the case. I mean, it totally makes sense, right? A team that you should beat, so therefore you don't want to show everything, especially when you're going up against a superior opponent the following week. And that adds a guy like Joe Mixon, that adds Stephon Diggs to an offense that was already explosive. Let's stay right there, Hub, before I let you go. I mean, when you're looking at that game, and obviously, you know, I think most Bears fans are looking at week one as just that, a week one of an NFL season. But this is a playoff team. You heard Eberflus mention it in the postgame, in the locker room, that this is, you're going to be facing a great team. What are your, not expectations, but what do you want to see? And I'm not talking about just, you know, improved play from Caleb. I'm talking about specific things.
Well, first of all, let me just go backwards and be clear. I'm not happy about anything I saw, you know, last Sunday. I didn't enjoy it any more than most people did. It wasn't what we expected. But what I did like about it was the fact that you can tell that they're better because they took over in the second half. They came back and they won fairly easy. Now, an answer to going forward this week, I think what you're going to see a lot more of is a lot of the two tight end sets. And one of the reasons that you didn't see as much of Cole Kmet is again, I think that's part of what they were just holding on to a little bit. They didn't really need that to come back and win the game. But I think you're going to see a lot more of that. And I think you're going to see a lot more use of DeAndre Swift, which we didn't see a lot of last Sunday. I mean, you know, he's the number one running back now. Yeah. But they didn't throw him the ball as much as I thought they would. And I think that they're going to do more of that. And I think you're going to see a lot of two tight ends with both DJ Moore and Keenan Allen on the field together. And I think that's going to be impressive what options it's going to give Williams. And now we have to learn more about Caleb this week to see how he, you know, how he reads that and how he sees it and how well he can make those plays.
Yeah, it'll be great to see it next week, and I can't wait. I'll be there in person, Hub. I'll have a front row seat ready to ride. All right, Hub, I appreciate you jumping on and hanging out with us. Look forward to talking to you again soon.
All right, well, have a great trip this weekend. We'll talk to you again soon. Take care, bud.
Thank you, Hub Arkish, our guy here on 670 The Score. Make sure you follow him. Always has the best stuff during the Bears season. Make sure you go ahead and hit him up on Twitter. So, yeah, I am flying out to Houston on Saturday in my annual Bears road trip. Last year, we went to go see the Chargers. Year before that was Dallas. The year before that was Pittsburgh, the Monday night Justin Fields game. So I'm excited. And people were like, you know, in the group chat, they're like, are you sure you want to pick that game? Are you sure you want to go see? Yes, I am 1,000% sure I want to go see Caleb Williams against CJ Stroud. Excuse me, let me backtrack. Caleb Williams and this Bears defense against C.J. Stroud and all the weapons and talent that they have down there. So
Gabe's not scared.
What?
He's not scared of a challenge.
Especially not when I'm going down with never 14 people. All right, I am going to tell you a little bit more about my trip, my prediction for the game, and then I'm going to play you what Coach wants that thinks is going to happen at the game, and then what Jalen Johnson, star Bears cornerback, what he thinks about this game against the Houston Texans. I'll do that for you on the other side. Don't go anywhere. It's Gabe Ramirez hanging out with you right up until Cubs baseball. First pitch, 9:10 p.m. right here on Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
Fake the handoff. Boot to the right. Stroud is going to throw the deep ball up in the air. It is caught. Touchdown, Dalton Schultz. A rainbow for 37 yards. C.J. Stroud can do no wrong.
Big thank you to Westwood One for that one right there. It is Gabe Ramirez hanging out on 670 The Score, leading you into Cubs baseball. First pitch, 9:10 p.m. Pregame begins at 8:35. Make sure you guys are here for that. And, of course, baseball coverage on The Score is presented by T-Mobile. Switch to T-Mobile and you can get tons of benefits and still save on every plan versus AT&T and Verizon. Use their savings calculator to find out how at T-Mobile.com/switch. All right, so you heard the highlight, C.J. Stroud going crazy right there. My family and I and my friends, we chose to go to Houston. One, when you do this every year, you run out of cities. You've already been to Detroit, Minnesota. We've yet to go to Green Bay. We're waiting until we're really good to go to Green Bay. You know, we've done Indianapolis, Tennessee, Cincinnati, Atlanta, New Orleans, L.A., Kansas City.
You said L.A. was last year, right?
Yeah.
That's what I thought. Yeah, I remember that. You've taken that trip.
Yeah, Pittsburgh, Dallas. Damn, we've done a lot. And so, you know, the stadiums are shrinking. Houston seemed right. Could have went to San Fran, but that wouldn't have been cool. You did not want to go to Arizona because every Chicagoan lives there. And oddly enough, the highest Bears ticket, the highest away ticket for the Bears is in Arizona. So just put that in the thing and whatever. So anyways, my prediction, even though they're so good, right? The Texans are so good. Against the Colts, 26 first downs, 13 via the pass, 11 via the rush. Joe Mixon, 100 million yards. Stephon Diggs, 2 touchdowns. I mean, they are that good, right? 417 total yards. This is the part that bothered me, that worries me. Time of possession. I know it's only one game. We just heard Hub say that. But when you're looking at this offense, the Houston Texans I'm talking about, pair that with their defense and you come away with this. Time of possession for the Indianapolis Colts, 20 minutes. 40 minutes for the Houston Texans. 40 minutes. That's crazy. That two-thirds of the game, they held possession. So Coach Wonstadt, Amble Mullenhall, I'll give you my prediction in just a second, but he talked to them and he gave his prediction as to what was going to happen in this game. Take a listen.
You know what? It all depends on this is going to be a tough one. This is going to be a tough one just because these guys can score points. I mean, our defense is going to be tested maybe as much this week as we have and will all year.
Yeah.
I mean, you realize what Houston did in their opener?
Yeah.
They scored the first three times they had the ball, two right. touchdowns and a field goal. And they added
Joe Mixon.
They added Mixon and the receiver
Diggs.
Yeah, you know what I mean?
Stroud.
Yeah.
Problem.
So they added some firepower
it's
here.
It's a problem.
And
it's so true.
But you know what? I think that Caleb is going to bounce back. I think he's going to play good this week. I really do. I don't know why. I guess I'm just believing in the guy.
Coach Wonstadt with Mullenhall right there. It's Gabe Ramirez, 670 The Score. All right, he didn't really give like a number. But the amount of, oh, man, oh, it's going to be, that's like extra touchdown every time we talked about that. I think, listen, I've been to some drubbings in my day. I was at, you know, that Chargers game that I just mentioned. I was there when the Bears lost to the Cowboys by a ton. There have been some embarrassing moments. But this one, all right, I'll tell you what the fan in me says that the Bears defense is going to surprise the Texans. Just surprise them, right? That they're going to think they're just so great. And they're going to surprise them. And C.J. Stroud. And then the Bears offenses can only get better. So I'm going to assume that they're going to surprise some people as well. And then the Bears are going to sneak out a victory. That's what my fan in me says. The analyst in me says 10 possessions for the Texans, 10 possessions for the Bears. They're going to score more than us, right? That's just what the analyst brain, but not by much. Not by much. One possession game. All right, Dan, the fan in me is coming back again.
The heart and the brain are like colliding right now, Gabe. I can sense it.
Yeah. It's because I'm there. You know what it is? Before I go to break, if you've never been to a road game for your favorite team, let me paint this picture for you. The clock hits double zeros and the Bears lose. And you know how long that walk is out of the stadium.
It's a very long walk.
It's a long walk. You know how long it is because you've done it here in Chicago. Imagine doing it with a Bears jersey on, with seven people that are wearing Bears jerseys. You look like you just ate poop. And the other team, as you would be, is extremely excited that they just won. And they have zero problem letting you know you flew thousands of miles to come to their city to watch your team lose. It is painful. So, no, I don't want to live just yet in a world where the Bears have lost to the Texans, because I genuinely feel as a fan that the Bears can pull off a victory. But you know what? We'll see what our next guest thinks about whether or not the Bears can pull off what would say an upset. Bears are 6.5-point dogs. Cynthia Freeland from the NFL Network. She is going to be hanging out with us next. I'll get her opinion, not just on the Texans game, but what she thought of week one for the Chicago Bears. Cynthia Freeland joins us next. Make sure you're here for it. It's Gabe Ramirez right here on 670 The Score.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly!